It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a Thursday morning, and we're getting ready for a huge series. Bill Crawford, along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. It's Laker Hockey Talk this morning. And Damon, we've got a very good team coming in this weekend. Should be no problem. The Lakers respect this team. They know them. We've only beaten them once in the history of the battles between the two. Minnesota State to the Mavericks will be a good series this weekend, and we want to encourage fans to get out and see some great college hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome weekend of hockey. I mean, you're bringing in a top 10 team in the country, skilled, skate, play with pace, and you know, our fans here know how we're built and the way we're playing, and trying to match that speed and that skill. And as you said, it's a tall task for us. We haven't had a lot of success against that program, and they weren't around as a Division I member when we were rolling as a program and racking up national championships. So that's why it's a little bit skewed that way. But you know, we finally got that first win last year against them, which was important. And you know, I think obviously we're a better team here this year. But we're going to learn a lot about our team this weekend. But I think you're going to find two fast-paced, exciting hockey games. You know, hopefully the reffing kind of lets the players decide it on the ice, and you know, our fans should be in for a real exciting weekend of hockey here at Taffy Able.
Yeah, lots of things to talk about this morning, and this show is not all that long. Generally, we preview what's coming up, and that is Minnesota State on Friday and Saturday nights. We'll have both games on 99.5. This morning, we're on 1400 AM, though, and Damon, we've had great crowds. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the success you've had in trying to build things up. I think moving the students over to sections A, B, C, and D really worked well. They've been showing up in mass. They make a lot of noise. They're enthusiastic, and the crowds are just generally better because this team is playing better.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you can do as much marketing and promotions as you want. If you're not winning hockey games and have a good product on the ice, it doesn't matter. So we understand we have a very important part to play in building the crowds and the energy and the enthusiasm. And, you know, we've done a very good job. I give credit to our players for understanding the importance of the urgent and the urgency of having a good start to the season, and they've done that well. And you know, we went from a challenge team offensively last year to the most prolific scoring team in the NCAA early on here, so I think our fans have enjoyed that as well. And whether the scoring continues at that level or not, I think people know we're going to play you know, with tempo, with skill, hopefully in a puck possession type game. But we're a high compete team as well. You know, I would like to see our penalty minutes come down a little bit, but we're going to play. Our guys, they do a very good job of prepping all week long for that puck drop on Friday night at 7:37. So our fans will get our same intensity and pace as we always get. Again, with the top 10 team in there, it's going to be a great battle. But, you know, our student section has been a tremendous boost and shot in the arm for the energy of our team. When we come out for warm-ups and we see that thing already filling up, and, you know, we hear them into the game and interacting with that opposing team, our team really feeds off of it. I think the whole building feeds off it. We've had a lot of positive feedback from people we know in the community, just saying how much fun they've had at the game so far this year and how exciting. And you know, we suffered that first loss Saturday night, but we still heard a lot of people just say what a great time they had at the game. And you know, we never gave up. We fought back, we tied it and had our chances to win probably a game we should have won. But our guys are playing, and we appreciate the support, and we hope that continues. It's very important to our program.
Yeah, both these teams lost the last game they played. Minnesota State at home lost 4-3 on Saturday night to Ferris State. We lost here. A tough battle, but an overtime loss to a much better than I think most people thought they'd be Alaska team, the Nanooks. And so now these two teams will refocus here this week and get ready for a big game Friday night.
Yeah, you know, and again, they've been kind of the bellwether of our league. You know, they've won the league the last few years. They've been to the NCAA tournament, so they've got a very good mix of some experienced veteran players, starting with their captain, the Carter Fogarth, the defenseman. You know, some other senior forwards up there that are important parts of their team. They've got some young freshmen who have come in, and in a sophomore and Brickley on the back end, and McCullough's freshman leading their team in scoring. So a very balanced team, a very deep team. They are a very mobile and well-skating team, and their D-core has got great mobility. So that's always been a big challenge for us over the last couple of years, is finding ways to nullify the speed and the mobility of their D-core. You know, we've got to make some small adjustments in our game to make sure that we're aware of what their D want to do and how active they want to be offensively. And so it's a big challenge for us. And I think our team speed is much improved from, you know, 2 years ago and even last year. So I think we're continuing to hopefully close the gap. And, you know, hey, this is home ice. We have to win at home and take care of our home ice. So it's not about, you know, so much Mankato as much as is what we do and what we want to be here at Taffy Able Arena.
Yeah, we've got a number of players who are off to great starts, too. Mitch Holtz was named Player of the Month for the first month of the season. That's pretty good. We played only a month, the month of October. And Mitch has 4 goals right now, 7 assists, 11 points. He's playing really well. He had 3 goals on the weekend. This is a guy who may not see his senior year the way he plays sometimes, because there are a lot of people who salivate over how he can play when he really gets it going. We got a lot of other players playing well, too, though. Gage Terrell's got 4 goals right now. The freshman, Braden Gelsinger, with 3. Max Humitz has got 3 goals right now, just a freshman for the Lakers. Anthony Nellis has 3 goals. Good production, and that's why we're up top there in goals scored.
Yeah, well, you know, you had a great stat on Tuesday night at the radio show. I think our sophomore class is either, you know, the top sophomore scoring class in the nation and maybe second of all classes, I think, the Harvard senior class. So, you know, just like last year as a freshman, I think they're the top scoring freshman class, or top one or two in one of the top scoring classes in the country. Part of that's the opportunity they've had, you know, being a young team. They've been able to play bigger roles than maybe some other places who are not in a rebuild and a coaching change situation. But they've taken advantage of their opportunity, done a really good job. Mitch, as you mentioned, you know, I don't think we'll have him for 4 years, unfortunately, but if he keeps playing the way he is, you know, we'll drive him to the airport to sign that contract, because he'll have earned it and deserved it. But he's playing at a very high level. You know, as you mentioned, you know, the knock with Mitch has always been the consistency of doing it, you know, night after night and shift after shift, to play with a little bit more pace to his game. But he's a big body. He's in phenomenal shape. He's got an NHL shot, and, you know, he's doing a very good job of shooting the puck this year. Last year he wanted to be a little bit more of a pass first guy, and so Rich and Doug have done a good job getting him to shoot a little bit more. And you know, he plays with Gage Terrell and Braden Gelsinger, two other guys who are up there. So that line offensively has been very good for us. I really like our balance. You know, you didn't mention Diego Cuglietti in there.
That's right.
Diego scoring, you know, he's done a good job. Jake Cann, I think, is a point of game guy as well. He's missed a few with an injury early on. So Gus, Diego, and Jake Cann to contribute. And then you got Hanky, who's another one of our leading scorers, with Nellis and Morgan. And, you know, I think Luke's another freshman, a point of game guy, or maybe just under now. So that balance scoring has been very important to our team so far. And we think we can sustain it. You know, we've got a couple guys still waiting for, you know, to get in more regularly, but they've shown they can do it. Brian Basilico scored a goal in his only game. Ian Johnson's looking for that first point, but he's a very poised, very skilled player, and he's got the ability to break out at some point as well. So that offensive balance has been really critical to our start.
Yeah, defensively, this team's been pretty solid, too, especially penalty kill. You said Diego's name a moment ago, and I missed him. He's got 4 goals on the season, and 2 of them are shorthanded. So he and Gus Corielli are really good penalty killers together. They know each other very well, and they can defend well when the other team's on the power play. That could be really important this weekend.
Yeah, you know, special teams have been, you know, a huge part of the game early on here. We're still adjusting as players and coaches, game to game and ref to ref, with this getting no new rules are in place, but just trying to get a stricter standard back in play to mirror the NHL and the way they're calling the game. And, you know, the way when you watch them play, how much speed is in the game and how much skill they get to use. So we're adjusting that way as well. I think there's been some good weekends, there's been some not so good weekends, and I know the fans get a little bit frustrated. They want a little bit more flow to the game, a little bit more consistency. So you know, we're working on it. I'll actually be speaking with the commissioner of our league too. I'm on part of the NCAA rules committee, and I just thought it was a good time that we kind of you know, talk about where we're at and what coaches are trying to get out of these rules and the standard of play, and maybe what the commissioners are. So I think there's a little bit of a divide of what the coaches are trying to get out of it and what we're trying to clean up and where the refs are coming down on it. So we have good dialogue all season long and week to week and month to month within our rules committee, but also as a league. So, but, you know, ultimately we have to adjust to what's being called and have the discipline from the coaching staff to our players to abide by the standard of play in that particular game. And it can be difficult when it changes from night to night or maybe ref pairings to ref pairings, but that's the way the game is. It always has been that way, and we want to play 5-on-5 as much as we can. And for a week or two there, we got down to like 30th in the country in penalty minutes. So I thought, here we go, we're playing discipline. And then this weekend there was a ton of special teams called both ways, so we're back up to one of the more penalized teams. But we want to cut that back down. I think 5-on-5, our speed, our depth is a big boost for us, so we want to make sure we're playing 5-on-5 hockey.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about that. We'll hit that subject here in the second half of our show this morning. We're going to take a break, though, here from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten, talking Laker hockey this morning. Lakers taking on Minnesota State. The Mavericks, one of the better teams, not only in the WCHA, but in the country. And there'll be a handful this weekend. We want to get a great crowd out to support the Lakers this weekend. So make your plans for Friday and Saturday night. One of the reasons to make your plans to come out and see this team play, Damon, is that we're not going to be here the rest of this month. We're going on the road starting next weekend. Michigan Tech, that'll be a tough test. Down to Ferris State for a pair of games and then non-conference at Michigan. So we're not going to be here till December.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a tremendous start. And again, if you haven't caught a game, you do need to come check this team out. It's an exciting brand of hockey. And, we're playing hard and we've got a lot of good hockey players that make it exciting to watch. But, we hit the road. Obviously a big test this weekend with 10th-ranked Mankato coming in here to start us off. And then to hit the road 3 weeks with those opponents, two WCHA games, a weekend series down in Ann Arbor at Thanksgiving. So we're going to really know what this team's all about over this next month here, 4 weeks of hockey. And again, we think we've got a chance to be a pretty good hockey team. We're not there. There's areas we need to continue to improve on, and that's anybody across the country. But we've got a chance to be a pretty good hockey team here, and we rely on our fans to get us going and support us. So, get your tickets, make your plans. It's going to be a great weekend of hockey here at Taffy Able.
Yep. Minnesota State coming in on Friday and Saturday night, 7:37 on Friday night, 7:07 on Saturday night. Get out and support these Lakers. We were talking a little bit about officiating before we took the break here, Damon. That seems to be a real problem with a lot of fans, too. They're very upset at all the penalties that are being called. And this past weekend, we saw quite a few. And we also saw one player disqualified from the game. He was given a game misconduct. He can play this Friday night. But we lost a very good defenseman in Colin Sackerman in the first period of the game. That was a little bit of a questionable call. I think he was called for checking from behind. I think video would show that that was not a serious situation at all. And then as the game wore on, frustration set in. We took a couple of 10-minute misconducts in the third period of that game. And if you look at the penalties that were called on the play, the one was really bad. There was no penalty there. It was a bad call. And the player lost his cool, said some things he shouldn't have said, and had to spend 10 minutes in a box. And the thing that does to you guys as coaches is really puts the pressure on. You're already short a defenseman. Now you're short forwards in key positions. You get a power play. You don't have a guy. He's in the box for 10 minutes. Yeah, it's a bad penalty for him to take, and they've got to deal with that. But, boy, there were some things that led up to that caused ultimate frustration on the part of the player.
Yeah, well, like you said, the Sackerman penalty in the first period, I'm not sure it's even a penalty, let alone 5-minute major. So that's tough. And then, like you said, it affects everything you do. You're down to 5D early in the game. I thought our D handled it tremendously. I thought they actually, enjoyed the extra minutes and played very well. A little bit of fatigue set in late there, but it affects your penalty kill. Collins also a power play guy for us, so it affects your power play units as well. You know, he's repped in that same spot really from day one, or pretty close since day one. So our power play has been very good early on, and he's a big piece of that. So that affects that way. You know, Josh Hanke took the 110 minute. He didn't say anything. It was more his stick. He slammed his stick in frustration. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure why Kevin felt the need to call that, but he did. And, you know, it's not acceptable from our end. Our guys can't do that. He's too important of a hockey player for our hockey team to show that frustration and to not handle it. It's part of the game. You've got to flush it and let it go. I get part of the frustration because, like you said, he was called on an elbowing penalty, and his elbow was nowhere close to making any type of contact at all with the player. So I get the frustration, but you have to handle it, and that starts from us as the coaches. So you know, we've addressed that, and we won't let that be part of us moving forward. But you get back to Sockerman already gone, and then you miss Josh for 10 minutes. We had two or three power plays in that 10 or 12 minutes he was serving his penalties. Now you've got two guys off that unit off the power play, and our power play, you know, does a lot of it, runs right through Josh Hanke with his passing ability. So it leads to disruption. It leads to a shortened bench, and, you know, that's not the discipline we expect out of our team. And, you know, we'll handle that and make sure it doesn't happen further. But, you know, fans have to bear with it a little bit. I think the end result of what the refs in the league and the NCAA is trying to do will lead to a better product, a more skilled game, a better pace to our game. So I think our fans will like it when it's all said and done, but I understand the frustration. And again, we're dealing with it as a league. And again, being part of the committee, I know we're sending out emails and clips kind of week to week and trying to make sure we continue to clean it up, and we're calling the games the way it's supposed to be called.
Yeah, that committee you're talking about, is that made up mostly of coaches? Is Dallas Ferguson one of the members of that committee?
No, there's coaches from each league. There's one head coach from each league. Tom Anastas is the chair of that out of Michigan State, and then the supervisors of officials from each league are part of it, along with the league commissioners and then some NCAA personnel. So it's got a little bit of flavor, you know, the head coach representing what we're trying to get, but then the supervisors of officials are a big part of that as well, because they obviously have the direct interaction with their crew. And you know, that's been a little bit of my frustration as we're going through it. We all knew there'd be some growing pains, and then week to week, where, you know, on the bench you're just trying to have a little communication to hey, why are you calling it that way, or, you know, I thought we were looking at this. And then some of the refs are good about it, some are not good about it. But for me, in being part of the committee, when we're changing some things or trying to get that the standard of play back in place, in my you know, side of it, we have to have good communication in a game. And part of that means, as coaches, we have to have a level head. We can't be on the refs or whatever, but they have to understand the situation too and find a spot to come explain to us, hey, this is what I saw, this is what we're trying to do. I think that hasn't been as good as it could be at times, and you know, we want to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing right now, but I think we kind of knew it was going to be like this. They're going to make calls that, and the fans really don't understand it, because to them it's not hockey. If you can't use your stick a certain amount and take people out in the defensive zone along the wall, whether they have when they have the puck, and that's getting called interference a lot, it really frustrates the fans. And I think the biggest thing the fans complain about is that we're trying to speed up the game, and yet we're doing things to make the game be longer. So between our overtime situation and the media timeouts and all the penalties being called, the games are long.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't remember off the top of my head, but when I looked at the faceoffs on Saturday night, and I've never seen us win so many faceoffs, and it was an insane amount of number of faceoffs we had, you know, partly because of the penalties. It was just that the flow of the game was choppy for whatever reason. Even though when the puck was dropped and playing, there was some pace, you know, we had great skill, we created a lot of great A scoring chances, but I was shocked. I'd never seen in a college hockey game so many faceoffs. And so, you know, I understand the frustration, and again, I think we're going to get there. I think when we get there, people are really going to enjoy the style of play. When you watch the NHL right now, you know, the pace, the skill, it's a really enjoyable product right now, and we're trying to get there, and just bear with us and stay with us, and you know, we're working on all ends to make sure it's an enjoyable product.
Well, this weekend it's a big series, Minnesota State coming into town. They're a very good team. You talked a little bit about them already. We really haven't mentioned that they are a national power type team. They're in the top 10 right now. They are a team that's led this league. Yeah, they did lose a game on Saturday night. It's probably good for them at this point in the season, or any team. I don't really think it's all that bad. We lost a game on a weekend. It makes your players kind of quit reading the press clippings and go back to practice in a little more serious mode. And I think Mike Hastings' team will be really good here this weekend.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, when you start, I as a player, I was part of a couple teams down with Coach Mason. We had, I think my freshman and senior year, we had 23-game unbeaten streaks. And, it's unbelievable, like, to go that long, but the pressure just builds and builds, and certainly through that, there's just a human tendency where you fall away from, what makes you successful. You read the press clippings, you can't, everywhere you go, people are talking about how good you are when you're going through something like that. And, you're never as good as what people are saying when you're winning, you're never as bad when you're losing. So there is a human tendency to fall away. I thought Saturday was our best game in three games. I thought the two previous games, we weren't as good, we weren't as tight. We didn't generate as much, so it is a little. It's an interesting game that way. So I thought probably Friday we weren't quite as good, but we won the game. And Saturday I thought beyond Jesse Jenks, it was a game that we should have won quite handily, quite honestly. But that's the game of hockey, and you're right. There is that loss does kind of snap you back in and get you hungry. As much as coaches, we try to protect against that and constantly talk about not getting lazy in our habits or getting away from what's made us successful. It's just part of human nature. So it does make you a little bit more hungry. Coach Hastings got his team. They're 1-2 in their last three, actually. So they'll be very hungry. One of the best coaches in NCAA hockey, is a tremendous coach. A little bit of a unique situation. My cousin plays for that hockey team, the captain, Fogarth, we talked about there. So, some personal ties for me in this game. And it's a program I watch closely because of that tie. And, just looking forward to a great weekend of hockey. I have a lot of respect for the way they're built, the style of play that they use. And, they're a team that we measure ourselves against, and we want to take another step against them this season.
Yeah, another thing, we've played real well defensively all season. I think we saw some of that come out when you had only five D-men on most of that game Saturday night, and yet they did a tremendous job. I thought they all played really well. I thought that was Kyle Chatham's best game, maybe in his years here, his 3 years at Lake Superior State. He was just very, very solid defensively and had a huge assist and a great play on a game-tying goal in the third period. But goaltending, few people critical of you for starting Nick Kossoff on Saturday night after Gordy'd won five in a row. But hey, Gordy needed a bit of a rest. Nick needs to play if he's going to take over here. And Gordy's in his last year of eligibility. And the other thing is, Gordy will refocus now, and he'll be able to play this weekend, and I think he'll be better because of it.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. Certainly it comes down to my decision ultimately, but we talk as a staff. Both Rich Dog, Terry Barbo, our goalie coach, plays an important part of those discussions as well. But, it's my decision ultimately, and, I feel good about it beyond the loss. Like you said, Nick needs to play. We'll see Nick again before too long, and part of that is preparation for Nick. As you mentioned, part of that's rest for Gordy. You look at our already completed schedule. We're six games into it now, and we've had one very difficult road trip to Huntsville in terms of rest and recovery, and then you hit the road for three straight weeks and some tough places to play. Going to Ferris State with the dog pound behind you, the smaller ice surface where everything's thrown at the net, and you have to be really alert and on your toes. And so, I think a physical break for Gordy, a mental break for Gordy, and Nick Kossoff's a good goaltender. He had three shutouts last year. He's very capable, and I wish the results would have been different for Nick and for our team, but I still think it's the right decision for where we need to be, this weekend, a month from now, 4 months from now, and a year from now. So there's a lot that goes into that decision, and again, we'll see Nick again soon because he's a very capable goaltender, it's too bad he didn't get the win, and it's not on one guy. It's not on a goaltender. It's not on one player. There's a lot of things that go into, obviously, any win or loss, and it's a team game.
All righty. Well, it'll be a team game this weekend. Minnesota State coming to town. We're out of time. Damon, thanks for being here. And until next Thursday morning, another edition of Laker Hockey Talk.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And looking forward to Friday night, 7:37. Get down. It's a kickoff of Movember as well. So we have some handouts down at Taffy Able Arena. You can go to our website to check those out. Looking forward to a great weekend of hockey.
All right, get that mustache going. That's it for Laker Hockey Talk. Talk to you again next week on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, right here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.